It's a good time to be a part of Northgate Church, isn't it? There's some really cool stuff going on. We got 10 people at least getting baptized throughout the course of today. Maybe by the time tonight's service comes, there'll be 20 or more, you know? Who knows? And the Port Alberni campus has just been announced, and it's like, man, it's an exciting time to be a part of Northgate Church. And Chelsea and I are so thrilled that we get to be a part of it with you guys. Our journey to get to this point is really... It's been a weird journey, and it's definitely not how I would have written the story if it was me. I'll tell you about it some other time. But I'm just so glad that I'm not the one who writes the stories, that God is, and he's so faithful, and it's been a really cool journey so far. And I'm so thankful that this is where we find ourselves right now, in a season where God is just doing something so crazy. It's so good. Last week, we saw that bumper video for the first time, and... It's just like, you see, Kyle is so good at doing videos. Those videos are so amazing. That video hit me really, really hard because it's almost like, it's probably because I'm a bit biased because my heart's in Port Alberni, but it's almost like the video itself, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it felt like there was anticipation because of the video. The video had something spiritual going on. It was powerful. And I felt something, my heart felt like it was going to jump out of my chest and land on the front row. It just felt like it was bursting. It was just jumping right out. It's just so good. End of the first service, Evan is making this announcement. We're gonna do this campus. This is happening. And that was kind of the first real official reveal for the campus. And I do know what came over me. Actually, God is doing something, and I'm excited about it. But I started weeping in the front row. And it wasn't like a loud, awkward, for everybody else weep. It was more like just silently to myself weeping. And you know how, like, when you hurt yourself and you cry, that's one thing. But when you weep and it's coming from a place deep in here, that's different. Like, there's something spiritual about that. It was like that. And I remember thinking to myself, partly, man, I hope no one sees me. And the other part was, this is kind of good, actually, because it's just more confirmation that God is doing something in my heart for Port Alberni. And the third thing I was thinking, how did this happen to me? What is happening to me? Because Chelsea and I, we've been married for 11 years, almost 11 years in March. 10 years ago, I would have said to her, now, you got to understand, we dated for 6 months. And then we got married. It was really fast. It was awesome for us. Probably not the best advice for everybody, but for us, it's worked out really, really well. But in the beginning of our relationship, I said to her, like, it was all like frolicking in fields and having picnics and dancing and singing. Like, that's what it was like. And I said to her in the beginning, babe, I will climb the highest mountain for you. I will go across the biggest ocean for some reason if you wanted me to. I will go to the moon, and I will bring you back the stars. I swear. That was my favorite song in grade 4. Anyone know that one? When Rob goes off of his notes. I will do this for you. I will do this for you. Like, I love you so much. But I know you're from Port Alberni, but I'll never go there. That's the one thing I won't do, is I won't go to Port Alberni. Okay, anything but that. And I just really didn't like Port Alberni that much. And we moved here. It's part of our journey that it will take a long time to describe, but we moved here about a year and a half ago, not here, but to Port Alberni. And I didn't want to be there. It was supposed to be a temporary stop where we just waited to see what God had next for us. I was very adamant, like, I'd much rather be somewhere else, like Kamloops, Vancouver, like, you know, honey, like, this is temporary, right? You know that, right? And slowly things started to shift in my heart. And it went to, like, actually, this place is not that bad. And a few more weeks passed, it's like, I actually kind of like this place. And then a few more weeks passed, it was like, I could live here. And Chelsea and her family are like, like, what is happening? This can only be a miracle of God. There's no other explanation for this. And I just fell in love with Port Alberni. And I'll tell you a bit more of why. It's a beautiful place. It's beautiful location. Geography is amazing. It's beautiful. The town's got lots of issues like all towns do. It's not the town that won me over. It's because God captured my heart with a vision for Port Alberni. And I want to tell you all about it. We're going to go to the book of Jonah. Jonah is so applicable because it's about a guy who God called to go somewhere and he said, no, I don't want to. And God said, oh, yes, you will. And he sent him there anyways. And then he changed the city. And I think that sounds like a real great buildup for a Port Alberni campus. Amen? Come on. So let's read. We're not going to read the whole thing. It's 4 chapters. It'll take us a really long time, but we're going to just pick some highlights from it and then I'll summarize the other pieces. So Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish, which is so fun to say. Tarshish. It's like Saul was from Tarshish, but on the road to Damascus, Jesus changed his life. Sorry. I hope I didn't offend anyone. He went to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. This happened in the first service too, and it was so real. It's happening again, even though it already happened in the first service. I was legit laughing again. Then, so he's on this boat, and he's, by the way, Tarshish, it's not an actual place. If you read the commentaries about it, we don't actually know what Tarshish is. It's an unidentified location, and they think it probably was way, way, way across the sea or the ocean or however the geography works in a place called Spain. We know where Spain is. Really, basically what it means is that as far away as possible from Nineveh as Jonah could get, that's what Tarshish represents. So he's on this boat, and he's on his way to Tarshish to get away from Nineveh, to get away from the Lord, and God sends this crazy storm, and it's dangerous. The boat is about to break up. The storm is too strong, and these sailors who aren't believers, they don't believe in the same God that Jonah believes in, they cast lots, and through that, God reveals to them the reason for the storm is because of this guy over here, Jonah. They're saying, what did you do? Why is this happening? He says, it's all right, you're right. My bad. You just throw me overboard and everything will be okay. And they're like, no, we can't do that to you. Like, we're better than that. And so they tried really hard to get through the storm, but they couldn't. And when they had no other options, they said, sorry, buddy. And this is what they prayed. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. In other words, this is you. You did this. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Guys who didn't believe in God began to worship God after they saw what God did, even though it wasn't a good thing. He used it as a good thing. Now, the Lord provided, note the word provided, touch your neighbor and say provided. Say, God provides. Jehovah Jireh. Is that the right one? I'm pretty sure that's the right one. Yeah. Nailed it. God provides. He provided a ginormous fish to swallow Jonah alive and whole. And Jonah, I added some of those words, but it's the same thing. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is a weird thing. It's translated as a huge fish, and if you look at it in the original language, it doesn't say huge fish because they don't know what it was. We don't know what this was. A huge aquatic creature swallowed Jonah. That would be the most literal translation, which sounds absolutely terrifying, awful. But God calls it provision. So, side note to the bigger picture of the story, sometimes God's provision for you comes in ways you would not expect it. And sometimes from your perspective, it's like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me, being eaten alive by a fish. But actually, God's using whatever it is that you're going through as a vessel to get you from where you are right now to where he wants you to be. And it's a good thing. He has this really, really beautiful prayer in the rest of chapter 2, which you can read some other time. And then, in verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land, which is disgusting. Chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming this very well-articulated and powerful sermon. 40 days and then God's going to overthrow you. 40 days and God's going to overthrow Nineveh. I don't really want to be here. Can't wait for the 40 days to come. God's going to overthrow you. And everyone's like, this is the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life. Like, you should not be a preacher. But God takes that and the next verse, I'll just read it. The next verse, the Ninevites believed God. That's nuts. The whole city. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. What does that mean? Sackcloth is just like in the culture at the time, when you were grieved about something, when you repented about something, you put on sackcloth. It was a symbol. So what it means is that this wasn't just like them saying, oh, please don't kill us. Please don't destroy us. It was them really repenting and really having genuine sorrow over their sin and how they had grieved God. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and he did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. Which at first glance, it feels like, oh, you were going to destroy them and then you decided not to. Like, okay. But in the big picture, this was his plan all along. He intended to send Jonah for this very purpose. His goal was grace. His goal was to rescue and deliver Nineveh. Yeah. Otherwise, none of this would be happening. He wouldn't have sent a prophet to let them know about it if there was no opportunity for them to repent. Moving on, chapter 4, after this Nineveh responds, nobody would have ever expected that. They respond to God, they repent, and Jonah is upset because to him, Nineveh is part of the Assyrian Empire. They're the enemies. God should be destroying them, and he's upset about it. And this is what God teaches Jonah. It's the last statement of the book. It says, shouldn't I have concern? Shouldn't I have concern for Nineveh? The great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand, and also a bunch of animals. I love how he added that on the end. That euphemism, they can't tell their right hand from their left hand. Other translations translate it as, they're in spiritual darkness. That's what it means. God's saying, shouldn't I care? Shouldn't I have concern? I do. I care about these people. Yeah. So what is the big take home from Jonah? There's a lot of things you could say about it. At first glance, you could say, well, the story is all about a prophet with a really bad attitude that God used anyways. You say it's about God's calling and sovereignty to end you up where you didn't want to go, and that would be true, and it would be good. You could say this is a really weird story about a fish that eats a guy and then spits him back up at the beach. It's so weird. You could say that. But specifically, the heart of this message, you could say all the other things, it'd be good, it'd be accurate. But the heart of this message is not really about Jonah. It's about God. And it's about God's grace. It's a story. The heart of the story is God's readiness and expectation to save a very specific and complete entire city. He wanted to do it. It's not just his ability to do it, but his desire. He sent Jonah with a specific purpose. And when Jonah tried to run away from it, he said, no, you're going. In other words, I've got a plan for this city. You're going there. I'm going to do something there. And what's really interesting, too, is that this was Assyria. Nineveh was a part of Assyria, as I mentioned before. This was not Israel. This was not God's special people. It wasn't his chosen nation that he'd made covenant promises to and said, I'll always be your God and you'll always be my people. This was outsiders. This wasn't the kids that grew up in church and knew all the right things that they were supposed to say and do. This is people who didn't deserve it. They weren't supposed to get it. And God let them have it anyways, which is, by the way, the gospel, according to Jonah. God was extending his rescue and redemption to people that weren't supposed to get it, doing something miraculous in a place that nobody wanted to go. Because he was ready to do something, and he knew that Nineveh was ready to respond. Nineveh was ripe for redemption, and the timing was now, and God wanted to do it, which just reminds me so much of Port Alberni. The timing is now, and God wants to do it, and Port Alberni is ripe. When we first moved there about a year and a half ago, obviously, initially, I was like, oh, when are we going to get out of here? Like, I can't wait for this to be over. But as God began to change my hearts, one of the things that first gripped me was Port Alberni, like, it's got some, like God described Nineveh, can't tell their right hand from their left. Port Alberni's got a spiritual darkness over it. And there are lots of wonderful churches in Port Alberni. But something's going on there, and there's a desperate need for God to come and do something new and fresh. Port Alberni is not Nineveh. Nineveh was known for military violence, being totally brutal and evil in that way. That's not Port Alberni, but Port Alberni has its whole host of own issues that are all really just symptoms of sin. We've got major addiction problems, lack of housing for people in low income, and there's a lot of low income, a lot of homelessness in Port Alberni. I know that everywhere has that. It's really concentrated in Port Alberni. It's a really big deal. It's a lot of racism. There's some tough stuff going on in Port Alberni. Port Alberni is tied with Prince Rupert for the highest rate of child poverty in Canada at 33%, which is basically one out of every three children in Port Alberni lives in poverty. That's way too many. That's a lot of kids. And of those one out of three, the majority of them are First Nations kids, which is very sad. But ultimately, these are symptoms of a spiritual problem. They're symptoms of that spiritual darkness, of that inability to tell the right hand from the left. Because the city is doing lots of great things to help people. They're doing the right thing. They want to provide programs that helps people and keeps them safe. But the thing is, as helpful as those programs are, the only thing that's going to change people's lives is a transformation by Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? And we are desperate in Port Alberni for it. And I've been sensing, since we moved there, I've been sensing that God's about to do something. And this picture and the feeling in my heart that I have is just like about to burst. Like God's heart is like bursting. Like it's just like been waiting and it's about to just explode. He wants to just like pour himself out over Port Alberni. There's this sense of anticipation, like you know it's coming, like it's almost inevitable. You picture a dam with a whole bunch of water building up behind it, and you just feel like that dam is about to burst. That's how I think God feels about Port Alberni, like breakthrough, like we're on the cusp of it. He's about to do something. We believe, Chelsea and I and Evan and all of us who work here, and now you guys too, that with our whole hearts, that God is ready to do something new in Port Alberni, that it starts right now. That Port Alberni is ripe and that he's been preparing us for such a time as this. Woo. So I got some stories I want to share with you. And as I tell them to you, you might think, wow, like Rob and Chelsea, they are evangelists. And the thing is, this is so not normal what I'm about to tell you. This is not normal life. This is just like us saying, God, we're available. We sense that you want to use us and work through us to reach Port. So use us. And he's just doing stuff. He's going ahead of us, preparing the way and getting hearts prepared. So that's what these stories are meant to illustrate, okay? Okay. We're moving into the house that we just bought in a town that I never wanted to live in, and now I like it a lot, and God's put it on my heart. We're moving into our house. We're unpacking the boxes. We had movers that came to help us, and one guy's unloading the boxes, and it comes up in conversation, as it so often does, that I'm a pastor. I think it was like, what are you doing here? I'm a pastor. And he goes, I knew there was something different about you. I knew it right away. I knew there was something. And then he starts pouring out his heart to me and telling me about all the things that's going on in his life. And I could just really use some prayer. Like, I need prayer. I need God. I need some prayer. I'm like, I'll pray for you right now. He's like, you would? I'm like, yes, I will pray for you right now. At the back of the truck, I laid my hands on him. His coworker came over and joined us too. He's like, I'm praying for you too. He came over, we laid hands on him. And we all prayed together in the back of the truck. It was so cool. And that was so not normal. It's not a normal occurrence for Chelsea and I, but that was kind of the first domino to fall. We started to catch, wow, like there's people here who want God. Which, by the way, I think is actually true everywhere. A lot of times we think, oh, the culture has moved on from Christianity and they don't want to have anything to do with God. And while there's elements of truth to that, I think people are far more ready than we think they are. And we just need to open our mouths more often. One ministry that we started just before we came out to Northgate, we were serving at a great little church that was out there, and we started something that we called We Heart Port Alberni. Has anyone ever heard of the LA Dream Center? Yeah. Okay, good. It's an amazing place. It's in Los Angeles. Their focus is in low-income areas of LA where there's just big issues. They adopt neighborhoods in Los Angeles where there's a lot of need, and they send teams there, and they go every week, and they just go to serve and love people, and they bring food, and they play with kids, and they do whatever they do just to build relationships with people. And it's not about the food that they give. It's not about the games that they play. Those are merely tools to build relationship so that at some point we'll be able to share our faith with you and hope that Jesus will change your life. And I wanted to take that model and bring it to Port Alberni, because Port Alberni is nothing like Los Angeles, but there is a concentration of great need there in much the same way. So we started We Heart Port Alberni, doing the exact same thing. The first time we went, there was an elderly lady who said, man, I'm so glad you guys are here today. I haven't eaten in 3 days. Thank you. We just brought hot dogs. She's like, thank you. Like, I haven't eaten. It's crazy. we had that was a good time, and we did it lots of times. The second time we came back, the kids were already out there waiting for us because we had given them flyers in advance to let them know that we were coming. And as I drive into the parking lot, they're like, they're here, they're here. You guys are coming now, right? You're here now? Yeah, sweet. They're like running around, knocking on all their neighbors' doors. They're here, they're here. There was so much anticipation. They were waiting for us. It's cool. After we'd been there about four different occasions, it felt like, okay, like we've built some relationships. These people trust us. We're friends. And by the way, at no point were we like, hey, we're from the church and we're just here to minister to you, because that has a tendency to put up walls. And so we intentionally didn't say anything. We wanted to wait for the time to be right. And this felt like that time. So we prepared to invite them out to church. We got that relational credibility. And the day came. I made myself a little speech. I stood up on the picnic table in their complex. And I was like, all right, I got something to tell you. And I was really feeling awkward and nervous about it, but also knew that God wanted me to do it without a doubt. And I stuttered and stammered my way to try and get to the, like, so what I'm trying to say is, I was wondering if maybe you would like to, I hope this isn't too awkward. It wasn't that bad. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I felt really awkward. And this lady who's sitting there is like, invite me to church already. I want to come to church. I've been waiting for somebody to invite me to church. Please spit it out. That is not a joke. It happened like that. She was hungry. Like, I've been waiting for someone to invite me to church. We carried on the same model of ministry since we've started at Northgate. We got a small group that's meeting at Portal Bernie every Tuesday. We wanted to keep doing the same thing, and we want to have multiple locations of it in multiple different housing complexes where there's a lot of need. So we've kept on doing it. Our new complex that we've been going to, the kids are out there. It's First Nations mostly, and so they're out there banging their drums to welcome us as we get there because they're just so appreciative and so friendly. And the first time was so good. They responded to us so well. You know, you're always a little bit afraid, like, what? How's this going to go over? But they were so grateful and so thankful. And so grateful, in fact, that we were preparing for our second time to go. And Chelsea and I go earlier in the week to knock on doors and give out flowers, say, hey, we're coming to hang out with you guys again. And the second door we knocked on, this lady answers the door, and she's like, man, you guys are awesome. Like, I'm so thankful that you are coming here like this, because it has been so hard lately, and I'm just like so discouraged, and you helped me to feel encouraged. And then she starts pouring out her life and the tough stuff that she's going through, and she starts to cry. And like, we're like, oh my goodness, this is God. Like, we haven't even had two events here yet, and we're praying for this lady at her doorstep, and we're like, hey, you know, God loves you, and God wants to set you free, and he wants to change your life, and he forgives you of all the stuff in your past. He wants to give you new life, and he can help you get through anything, and he's good. And we're just like telling her the gospel. We're like, do you want that? Would you like God to like come into your heart and make you a brand new person? And she's like, yes, I want that, please. In her doorstep with her hands out like this, we led her to Jesus right then and there. It's like, what? It's like, so previously, I told everybody in the group, I said, okay, now don't be too spiritual. We want to be really careful. We don't want to, like, you know, get too advanced. We haven't even done our second event yet, and we're praying for people and leading them to Jesus. It's like God is doing something. It's not us. God is doing something. He's prepping hearts. The next day, we went there for the event, and another lady comes up to us. And remember, we haven't really proclaimed anything. If they've asked us who we are, we say, well, we're from a church that hasn't started yet, but we're hoping to start next year. So we haven't said any of that as much as possible. But this other lady comes up and she's like, I just really appreciate you guys coming here. Like, it's really nice. And I don't know, like, my sister, she's got this thing going on in her head. She's got to go down for a doctor's appointment in Victoria. We're feeling pretty stressed about it. Can you, like, I don't know, pray for me or something? It's like, yeah. And we prayed for her right there. It was like, God, what are you doing? It's amazing. Like, these are doors that are opening. We didn't even hardly have to do anything. God's just bringing people to us, and they're hungry for him, and they want him. They're so open. I play hockey in Portal Bernie in one of the men's leagues. Actually, there's only one. And I play in that league, and the guys on my team, they all know I'm a pastor. They ask me about church all the time, and they're asking me about God, and they make dirty hockey jokes. I'm like, oh, sorry, Rob. And I'm like, I don't really know what to say to that. It's kind of awkward. Christians who play hockey, you probably know what I'm talking about. Or actually, Christians who live in this world know what I'm talking about. They all know that I'm a pastor, and the one guy's like, Rob, I think you should pray for us before every game. You should pray for us. I was like, okay, I'm willing to do that. And everybody else was like, Like, they weren't sure about it. But he kept on mentioning it, like, every week. He's like, Rob, I think you should pray for us before this game. And the event, he's like, I need all the prayer I can get. And then this other guy was like, yeah, you should pray for us before the game. Because I used to play football, and we would always pray before the games. And I'm not religious, but it pumped me right up. So before the game, we gathered around the net, and we prayed together. It was like, what the heck is happening? This is so weird and so awesome. And then we got creamed. Like, they beat us so bad. It was like, God, Rob, don't do that again, okay? But there's openness. One of the guys on my team, he used to go to church. He tells me about it quite often. We're getting changed and getting our gear on. He's like, oh, I used to go to church. But then I went to this other church, and he's got this really, really significant scar on his face from an accident that happened when he was younger. And I went to this church. It was this big prophetic thing, and they were praying for me and trying to heal my face and touching my face and trying to pull my scars off. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so, he's like, I've never been back to church since. It hurt him so deeply. And my heart was like, I'm so sorry. Like, but I know that there's a hunger for God there still. The fact that he's just revealing that to me that this happened, and I know that I'm convinced he's gonna come. When we start the campus, I know he'll come. I know guys on my team will come. I know people from this complex are gonna come, that complex that we go to. Chelsea's hairdresser, she comes to her house to cut her hair. That's what hairdressers do, believe it or not. And it just comes up in conversation what we're doing in Port Alberni, and she's like, oh yeah, my husband and I, we're not religious at all, but we've been thinking we should go to church. Like, well, we're starting a church. You should come. It's like, this is all unprovoked. It's just happening. We got this young adult crew in Port Alberni. God is lighting them on fire, and it's brand new. It's a brand new thing. It's not normal. But they couldn't find the church to really connect and plug into, so they just started doing it themselves. And they meet at a guy's house, and they're just firing each other up, and they're growing. And every week they get together, they have dinner together, they pray together, they worship together. I've been going to hang out with them on Wednesdays. They're getting connected with us in Northgate already. Come out for worship nights. I told them a few weeks back, hey guys, this is happening. We're gonna start working towards the Northgate campus. And I kid you not, I'm pretty sure that eyes were getting watery in the room. I don't want to exaggerate if that's not true, but I'm pretty sure it was true. They were sparkling, and they said, Rob, like, this is awesome. Like, thank you. One of the guys was like, let me be the first to say thank you so much. We need this so bad. Port Alberni needs this. We need this. And they're just celebrating, and they can't wait for the campus to start. They come up with us for worship nights already, and they're loving it. Worship team, you can come back up now. That's only a couple of stories. I got more on my page to tell you, but we're out of time. God has been doing something. He's been going before us. All that anticipation we've been feeling, he's been preparing the way. He's preparing hearts, and that sense that he's about to do something, it's happening. It's happening now. It's what Evan quotes Joey as saying. We got to stop praying for revival because it's happening. We're in it right now, and that's what's happening in Port Alberni. God's getting ready to change people's lives. There's a lot of hurting people in Port Alberni. But we serve a good God who has Port Alberni on his heart. He's been waiting for this. Now we're ready to go. It's happening. So to close, I just want to pray for a couple of groups of people. Group A. Maybe you were hearing the sermon thinking to yourself, man, wow, Rob and Chelsea, like I mentioned before, Rob and Chelsea, they're so evangelistic. I just want to remind you, this is not normal. This has been God just doing stuff, and we're just saying, God, okay, we're available. You give us a heart for this place, we want to be used by you, and he just starts using us. You don't have to be trained. You don't have to have some special gift to articulate the gospel. If you're afraid, I don't really know what to say. I don't know how it's going to come out of my mouth. God's not looking for people who've got it all figured out and know how to do it perfectly, who got it down to a science that can lead people to the Lord just like that. He's just looking for people who will be available so that when he calls, says, I want you to say something to them now. You say, yes, I will. I don't know what I'm going to say, but yes, I will. I'll trust you. And he's going to fill your mouth with words. He's going to work through. You're going to see him do stuff. If that's you and you're like, I just want to be available to God. I want him to use me. I want to pray for you in a moment. Maybe God's whispering to you about coming out and helping us launch a campus in Port Alberni. I'm going to pray for you. Don't feel pressure. Don't feel manipulation. I'm just saying, I want God to make it crystal clear for you. So we're going to pray for you. Group B is, I was talking about Nineveh, how unlikely it was for Nineveh to respond to God the way they did. They weren't supposed to. They weren't God's special people. They weren't the church. They weren't the kids who grew up and knew all the things that they were supposed to do. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. They shouldn't have got it. It wasn't supposed to be them, but God loved them. He just gave them grace after grace and rescued them and saved them and pulled them out of that life of destruction and evil and changed them. Maybe you're like, I want that too. I didn't know I was ready. I didn't know I was ready, but all of a sudden I realized right now that God wants to do something in my life. I had no idea walking in the door today that that's what God wanted to do. But today I feel like I'm ready too. I'm ready for God to do something. I'm ripe for redemption right now. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Jesus, that punishment that we should have got because we're imperfect, fallen people, he gave it to Jesus instead, and he gave us his love and his relationship. All you got to do is believe. So I want to pray for you as well. And in a moment, Evan's going to come up and give us some next steps. But let's pray. If either of those categories applies to you, you feel you're in one of those groups, pray along with me in your heart. Let's agree together. God, for people in the room who would say, I want to be available to be used by you. I want to see these divine opportunities come more in my life, that I could tell people about you and see change come to them. God, I pray you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. You didn't tell us we had to do this on our own strength. You gave us your Spirit to make us brave, to make us bold, to make us able to do stuff that we wouldn't be able to do on our own strength. God, fill them up and send them out empowered. Give them eyes and ears to see and hear every opportunity that you put in their path, and give them the boldness to respond when you speak to them. For anybody that is maybe feeling you whisper to their hearts about Port Alberni, God, make it abundantly clear that there'd be no doubt in their minds. For people who are here today saying, wow, I want God. I didn't realize that I was ready. But I realize right now that I need him and I want him. I want him to save me. I want you to know, in the same way that God's heart burst for Port Alberni, his heart is bursting for you as well right now. God, I pray you'd pour your love into them, that you'd start making them a brand new creation, forgiving all their pasts. All those things are wiped away. They're washed clean. You're a new person. He forgives you and he loves you. He's making you a new person. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here and for what you're doing at Port Alberni. Pray for just an increase of open doors. We just know you're ready. We know that you've prepared us for such a time as this. You've prepared Port Alberni for such a time as this. So God, we're available. Come use us. Work through us. Change a city. Amen. Pastor Evan's going to come up and lead us into an awesome time of baptisms.